Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is a micro episode of Howe's New York, and we're going to get right to it. We're going to be talking a little bit of estate planning 101 and defining what is a will in our first episode in this micro series on estate planning. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our host, as always, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you and welcome everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're always talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, any hot topics of the day. And as our producer Jason mentioned, we are embarking on a series of micro shows to talk about different aspects of wills, estates, trusts, and all those things you've heard about but probably might not have asked about or might not have fully understood or might understand things that are really not correct. And we've chosen to do this in smaller, digestible units than an hour-long seminar where you probably have to get up, get a couple of cups of coffee to get through the whole thing. We're going to touch on little topics at a time, and hopefully that'll be useful for you in the future to plan your own estate and make sure that you're comfortable, knowing that your family is planned for, knowing that your assets are taken care of, and just that you feel a whole lot better. You know, Jason, I saw a commercial on TV recently. Husband and wife sitting in the kitchen, wife on the laptop. Wife says, oh, my God, you know, Mary's husband just passed away, and they have no insurance. And she looks at her husband and says, we have insurance, don't we? And he sort of gives that puppy dog look of, being caught, with something that he should have done but didn't do. And I thought that was a pretty good analogy, almost for our topic of wills. When, the second thing, the discussion between the husband and wife, maybe the husband, in order to deflect the fact that he never got life insurance, probably should have said, but did they have a will like we do? And she would probably say, honey, we don't have a will either. So that's where we come in. And I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I saw something that very few people have wills. Mm-hmm. I saw something saying that 2 out of 5, I can't figure out what the percentage is. I knew that about 50 years ago. But that's a very small percentage of people who have wills. The people who want to have wills is probably 95 to 100%. The people who actually have them are probably less than 50. And now I'm not going to put you on the spot, but you fall in one of those two categories. Either you have it or you don't. And after our show, of course, you better start thinking about one for yourself or check
you're
in
right, that jumped
to
out.
Know where,
that jumped
to,
out
to where that
too.
Will that you did is. So there is a big misconception.
That AARP survey, yeah.
Yes, that AARP survey. So there is a big misconception about what wills are. Wills are really simple documents that express what you're going to do with your property when you're no longer around. All right? Now, that probably is not going to be the most fun topic or thing that you talk about in 2023, but it is kind of an important topic, and I tell clients a couple things. I say, don't put off, you know, doing a will, because by not doing something, you've really made a decision, and that has ramifications. I tell them that you're going to feel really good after you do it, sort of like you feel after you pay your taxes on April 15th. Now, leading up to April 15th, you have a pretty sour taste in your mouth, and it's stressful. And
I hope I feel
but when
better.
You do,
I hope I feel better.
Yeah, I hope you yeah. Well, if you have the money, you'll feel better, because then you won't have the money. I don't know how you'll feel then. But it does, you know, whether you have it or not, you got it over with, and you know that at least you've taken care of a really big, you know, item in your life, that is paying your income tax. And here, making a will is you have made a plan for when you're not around. Now, wills are pretty simple documents. They do have a few pieces and parts that you have to follow for them to be a valid will. And we're going to get into that in another micro session, but you just can't write something down on a piece of scrap paper and say, I leave my house to Joe or to Mary. It involves much more stuff than that. And you can't, if your house is in joint names with somebody else, you definitely can't leave it to somebody else, because that goes automatically, you know, to the other person. And so probably in life, and probably you do too, Jason, to let you off the hook a little, you probably have a lot of things in joint names with your significant others. And if one of you are not around, it'll go automatically to the other person. You don't have to come into my office and do a will, but it'll go automatically. And a lot of married couples have most of the stuff that they own is in joint names. They own their house in joint names. They have a bank account. They have savings accounts. They have insurance naming the other party. Maybe they have a 401k naming the other party. So at least when the first spouse passes away, it goes to the other person. Besides being terribly sad and despondent, you know, on the personal level, on the financial level, things sort of happen automatically. One less thing you have to worry about. Now, of course, not everybody's married. And for individuals, you know, if you were never married, who might be people you want to benefit after you're not around? Probably maybe your siblings. Maybe some of your siblings you might be estranged from. Maybe some of your siblings may be very well-to-do. They may be very, you know, wealthy. Then there could be other siblings that didn't make it so well and probably could need your money. So you would probably, and also there's charities that you, you know, you feel a good feeling towards that you want to benefit. So a will would help you in that sort of situation. Now, wills, you know, we have 50 states. I think we have 50 states. I hope we do. I think that was a presidential question one year.
I think we still do, yeah. I don't think we've gone off.
We still
unless they haven't told us.
And, you know, thankfully for lawyers, there are a lot of laws out there. That's why you need lawyers. And there are 50 states, and doggone, 50 states have 50 different types of laws about wills. But, you know, basically, in essence, a will throughout the United States says, I want to give whatever I own in my name alone to either my spouse, my siblings, my nieces and nephews, my friends, my charities, etc., when I am not around. And, you know, that provides for sort of an orderly, event after you pass away, at least financially, so that people aren't figuring out, oh, who's going to get this money or how are we going to pay for this, or they promised that, they would give me the house or things of that nature. And there is a little bit of a misconception that if you don't make a will, all the money is going to go to the state. And I don't know if that's New York State or the United States, but in any event, it's false. Property does not go to the states if you don't have a will. However, the states, all 50 of them, have made up their own laws for people who don't make wills. And they're pretty okay. Spouses leave stuff to their spouses. No spouses are around, you leave it to your children. If no children are around, then to their grandchildren maybe. And if you're not a married couple, you would probably end up leaving it first to your parents. At least that's the law in New York State. The problem with that is your parents, if you're 50 or 60, your parents are probably 80 or 90. Hopefully they're around. But you probably don't want to benefit an older person. Why? Not that you want to be a meanie, but older people are usually on social services, getting, maybe Medicaid, and giving them some money could knock them off. So they'd have to spend your money and then get back on, you know, to the social services program. Also, you know, older people, their spending habits are a lot less than, they do have expenses, rent and food and insurance and medical, but, they're not traveling around the world, they're not eating at expensive restaurants every night, going out to expensive nightclubs or going to Atlantic City to gamble. So their spending habits are a bit, smaller. But also your parents may not be around. It's, if you're in your 60s and they're in their 80s, 90s, chance of them being around, hopefully they are, but they may not be. So then who would get them? The state says, your brothers and sisters would get them. And that's kind of okay, but assuming you don't like some of your brothers or sisters, or you don't like some of their significant others, or one of them is on social services, or one of them is so crazy successful that, what you would give them, probably wouldn't go for a car payment, for their Maserati. So the moral of that story is that the states or any government, when they make laws, they're probably okay, but they're probably not what you would want to do yourself. So all the more reason, to make a will. And so people feel that also when they make a will, first of all, as we started by saying, it's probably not the most fun thing you're going to do. And then you got to go see a lawyer who's going to charge a lot of money, and probably that's not the case, but probably some could, but obviously you're going to ask your legal advisor, how much approximately will this cost. Now, before we get to that, you could theoretically make a will on your own. You could probably Google a few ways to do it or get forms off the internet. And yeah, you could probably do it on your own, but you might mess it up. And if you mess it up, then you sort of have double the problem of what you would have had you, gone to a professional and have it done. I use the example that I could probably change the brakes on my car, but if I did and I did it in a wrong fashion, well, I'm going to crash, and that's not a good thing. And that's the good. And that's the thing about wills. If you decide to do it on your own, you might do it correctly. You know, we're not saying this is such a deep scientific endeavor that you have to go to 20 years of school to figure out how to do. But if you don't do it correctly, then you really have, like with the car issue, you end up in a crash, and you don't really want to do that. The other thing people feel when they make a will is that it's sort of set in stone now. So I decide I'm going to give you my house. And that's great. You feel great. In fact, you probably start thinking that by me saying in a will that I'm going to give you my house, that you already have some ownership interest in my house and that it's partly yours. Me, on the other hand, who made the will leaving you the house, of course I'm still around, feel, oh, this is probably set in stone. And what happens if I fall out of like or love with Jason? You know, what, or Jason ends up wildly successful himself, or Jason gets into a crowd of people that probably are not good, or I see a side of Jason that I realize, hey, he does have some character flaws. He can't manage money. Maybe he goes a little too far with drugs and alcohol. Maybe he has a gambling issue. And so then I have second thoughts, but, you know, I'm making a will, so I kind of think that it's set in stone. Well, it's not set in stone. It's written on paper. And I tell my clients they should look at their will every so often, every couple of years, to make sure, one, that the people who are in it are still around and they are still in like or love with the people that they, have in the will, and that they also, the assets that they have, are still around. I may sell the house that I said I was going to give to you, so you end up with nothing. You don't end up with the money. You don't end up with a house that I buy afterwards. You really get nothing. So the point being that, you know, wills are changeable. They're not set in stone. And, you just have to keep looking at them to make sure that they really do what you want them to do 5 years after you made the will. Now, the last point I'm going to make, if you have any questions for me on this topic of what is a will, there is a thing floating around there called a living will. Now, that confuses the heck out of everybody, myself included. And it's kind of hard to tell a client that a living will is not anywhere near a will. It doesn't have anything to do with property, doesn't give you my house, doesn't give you my bank accounts, doesn't transfer anything. But for some reason, they came up with the name living will. And really, essentially, what a living will is, definitely not a will, it's something that is your expression of end-of-life concerns, whether or not you want to be kept alive artificially, all right? Now, that document, too, isn't really like a fun document to make either, but some people are concerned. Half of my clients are concerned. Why? Because they had an instance of a relative being kept on life support, and they just felt it was very cruel that this person, remained, for months and years on life support with no quality of life. And other people really don't care about it. They figure, let the doctors or the Lord decide, what's going on, and let it be at that. But it is confusing. People come in and they mistake a will for a living will, and vice versa. So that's the that's just a little definition explanation there. I think that sort of ends my remarks, at least on this topic of what is a will. I know later on we'll go on to how to prepare to make a will, and then how a will is executed, and then what to do in the future, checking your will just to make sure that, it says everything it's supposed to say. And that'll be topics, as you mentioned, of future micro sessions. I'm wondering if you have questions or thoughts or confessions.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Now, you covered a lot of bases, and my question actually was going to, I think, is better saved for the next topic, which is how you go about, doing the will, the actual mechanical, the heavy lifting of doing the will. I think you covered all the explanation of what it is, which led me to some questions. I think will be better served on our next topic.
Sure. And so that I guess brings us to the end of our little micro program. And thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thanks to me for explaining, what wills are, and for Jason to asking what wills are. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing all of you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.